Amen. Glory. That's one of my favorite songs. Brother Teddy, would you pray for us? The schedule, everyone that reads the Bible through can come to the Bible Readers Banquet free of charge. Okay, let's review a little bit. Open your collection of reliable historical documents that were written down by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses, and record supernatural events in fulfillment of specific prophecies and came from God and not man. Amen. Amen. Okay, yeah, let's review a little bit further. We've been in John 15, and let's look at verse 12. It says, this is my commandment, the Lord talking red letters, that you love one another as I've loved you. And then in verse 17, you have these things, I commanded you that you love one another. Yeah. Any questions so far? Yeah. Running pretty good so far, aren't we? Pretty simple, really. Pretty easy. About the easiest command you could get into. And we had a little cross-reference for it there over in 1 John 4:17, I think it is. 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. And one more time, as He is. Now, when He was on the cross, He had all my sins, your sins, centuries of sins, everyone's sin on Him. But when, I don't know what He did with them. But when He went down and emptied out paradise, I don't know if He dumped them off in hell. I don't know if He buried them in the sea of forgetfulness. But I do know that when He came out of the tomb, He didn't have one left on Him. There wasn't one sin left on Him. It's why we get to go in. As He is right now, not as He was when He was on earth, not as He was on the cross, as He is right now, so are we in this world. Now, I'm already over on the other side just waiting on my brand new body. We're the same as there. Our standing is there. And we're just almost there. And then the first part of this, it says, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Now, we've been having a class downstairs about the future, about prophecy and stuff like that. And I have said before on Judgment Day, it's talking about Judgment Day right here, that Brother Rick's going to be looking down at his feet and just kind of like walking around in a circle, kicking cans, ashamed. But I've from that class and a little bit of study, and I've been looking at that judgment, I don't think that's the way it's going to be. I think that's another thing I was wrong about. It says right here that we'd have boldness in the day of judgment. See, our sins is back there on the cross. Only saved people is going to be there. It's going to, only saved people is going to be there. Only the family. It's going to be family. And I think it's going to be more like awards day, to tell you the truth. My favorite day of school was awards day. There's several reasons for it. One thing is the last day of school. It's just a different attitude and atmosphere completely. As members only. It wasn't, Mount Lookout Grade School didn't come over to our school and have awards day with us. It was members only. Now, the kids, they would invite aunts and uncles, grandparents, but it was family. It was family at awards day. Sometimes the students, there's different kind of awards day. At Mountain State Christian Academy, we used to have a school here. The students would get in the choir on Wednesday night, and we had a miniature awards day, and we handed out certificates for every 100 that was made that week. We didn't, it was, you could come to it bold. It didn't matter if you made an F or a D. They wasn't going to talk about that. All we talked about was the 100s. And it was to encourage the parents, encourage the students. And they would come by and we'd give them a slip. They had one 100, two or three, four 100, some of them. And they'd go back and sit with the family. Awards night. And at school, at the end of the year, the last day of school, it was only, like I said, half a day. And I went to, there's different ways to do it. I went to Gabe and Noah's over at Victory. And the whole student body, it wasn't just Gabe and Noah, they all knew where they was going to take the family to go eat afterwards. They'd done picked out their restaurant. Gabe and Noah always picked Mexican down at the bottom of the hill. Well, you know, the first half of the tribulation in heaven is the judgment seat of Christ, and then we're going to go eat.
Yeah.
That's the way we're going to the marriage supper. I think this is how it's going to be. That's the way awards day was. That's what I've ever seen. And they start off with some good songs like "I'm Glad I'm Free," like being free. We'd worship a little bit. Brother Dallas might give us a few points out of the scriptures, read some verses, get us all charged up there for the summer, and. Every time we'd be gathered in like this, and the bell would go off because it was on a timer. Every other day that year, that meant you're supposed to be in class, but not today. Not during awards bank. You're free. You're free for the summer. You're looking ahead to freedom. The bell's different on that day. And on Thursday night, we've been learning about the last trump, the last bell. And it's not the last trump forever in eternity. It's the last one for that year. It's the last one. In Corinthians, it talks about the last trump, and it's the last one in the church age. Yeah. Then we're going out. We're going to heaven.
Right.
I can't imagine this thing being real bad. I think it's like an awards banquet. They would at awards, there'd be trophies and plaques and certificates and ribbons and it was an awards ceremony, sometimes called an awards banquet. You might eat right there, right after it's over with. And sometimes they would combine it with graduation, if a school wasn't very big. And there would be a valedictorian and a salutatorian. And they would all, those two would always give a speech. They had the top average, and they would give a speech. And I can almost quote them. It always starts out, "I want to thank the Lord. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for Him."
Right.
We'll go ahead and tell you, we're not going to be at this judgment if it wasn't for Him. It's only going to be family. Saved people are going to be the only ones that's there. And then they go right on down the list. They say, "I want to thank my preacher. If the preacher hadn't encouraged me, I wouldn't be the valedictorian or the salute. I wouldn't be getting these." It's like casting them back at Jesus' feet. These crowns are more. And then they'd come on down the line. Maybe thank all the teachers. Maybe a favorite teacher that has really encouraged them and helped them. And then they'd say, "I want to thank Mom and Dad."
Yeah.
They were saying that somebody else is why I'm here. I want to go ahead and tell you it's somebody else why we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ. I don't think we're going to be hanging our head. It says right here, boldness. It's what it says is boldness. They'd have certificates for the highest average in calculus and chemistry and trig, highest average in Spanish, highest average in English, history, math, right on down the line. When I went in the sixth grade, I told my math teacher, I just went ahead and volunteered this. She didn't know anything about me. I didn't know her. I just went ahead and volunteered and told her I was quick in math. She said, "All right. What's the 27,000 divided by 23? I said, 792. She said, "That's not even close." I said, "No, but it's quick." They got certificates on awards day. They got certificates for perfect attendance. On awards day, they got certificates for perfect attendance.
Yeah.
Right. You reckon it's going to be?
Yeah.
I'm still talking about the judgment seat of Christ over here. You reckon it's going to be a certificate for perfect attendance?
Right.
How about faithful attendance?
Yeah.
If you miss three or less days, you get a certificate for faithful attendance.
Right.
It was all one big ceremony. Sometimes they get a certificate for the most Bible verses memorized.
Yeah.
Brother Adrian was telling me, I saw him the other day on the video. I didn't see him. He said that memorize is great, but I need to personalize it.
Yeah. Right.
I need to personalize it. I need to internalize it, is what he said. Might get a reward for that. I'm talking about the judgment seat of Christ. Sometimes you get a certificate for most improved. Got one or two of those. Or maybe the most likely to improve. Sometime. But let me tell you what you never get or never happens. There's never a certificate. They don't talk about the 19 whoopings you had this year.
Right.
Not on Judgment Day.
Ain't that a blessing?
Thank you, Lord.
You remember all our sins back. Only saved peoples will be there on Judgment
right.
Day.
Yeah.
We're not going to be judged for our sins.
Right.
Not on Judgment Day. I'm starting to look forward to it, to tell you the truth. I mean, we're just going to heaven. I know the first thing.
Right.
First thing's, I don't think it's going to be like I used to think after taking.
Amen.
Hey, you know what? They're not going to. No one got a certificate because, or it's not talked about that you didn't get a lunch break till after Christmas because you had to stay in for detention.
Right.
That's not talked about on Awards Day.
That's good.
No. Nobody talks about how long you had to stay in, clean the chalkboard, stand in the corner, or write sentences because of all the demerits you got.
Yeah.
That's not on Awards Day. I'm talking about Awards Day. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. I think it's going to be something to look forward to, Judgment Day, just to tell you the truth. That's what I'm seeing. I think all the bad stuff been... I tell you what, when they up here in this choir, Brother Jared might be sitting right over here knowing that he's going to have to go to summer school where he ain't going to finish.
Yeah.
But they don't come out on Awards Day.
Right.
Me and him's the only one that know it.
Yeah.
Now, you're not going to have to come to summer school in heaven. I'm not talking about that. I'm just saying the bad ain't going to be there. It's not going to come out on Judgment Day that you was behind.
Yeah.
This is my point. It's not going to come out. It's not going to come out on Judgment Day that you don't get your grade card till you pay your bill.
Right.
It ain't going to happen. They don't come out at awards banquet. This is just some things that don't happen. And I'm starting to look forward to the judgment seat of Christ, just to tell you the truth. Because a lot of that stuff ain't going to come up. It's not going to come up that you're just barely here.
Right.
See, Brother Dallas was the administrator. I was just the principal. And really, that was just a name. I really was just a teacher. I never had an office. I taught school every day, and I love it. I think a classroom's holy ground, just to tell you the truth. But it's not going to come out that me and Brother Dallas had a meeting, and it's just a miracle that you're here. You almost got expelled two or three times. That's not going to come out at judgment seat. It's not going to come out that you almost got expelled, that you almost went to heaven early on your eternal security. That's not going to come out. Not on Judgment Day. That you're just barely here. Up here, you're going to look like everyone else. And it's just one body, one student body, one that glorifies the head. That's what I think Judgment Day is going to be like. That's what I think the judgment seat of Christ is going to be like. A little bit of review. Let's go back to John 15. John 15. We were talking about verse 18 now is actually most of last week. We're talking about the animosity. The animosity. And here it is, if the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. And we covered that pretty well, or uncovered it in chapter 15. And I said in chapter 16, it's going to carry on. Actually, maybe a little bit worse, goes into persecution now in chapter 16. And again, thank God for America. We had very little persecution. I haven't had my nose bloodied because of the Lord. The Lord's let me knock on a lot of doors. No, I never had any persecution. John 16. These things have I spoken to you that you should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will thinketh that he doeth God's service. In 1900 in China, they experienced what was called the Boxer Rebellion. And soldiers captured a little mission work out in the country, and they blocked all the gates but one. And they laid a cross on the ground, and they said anyone that would walk over the cross could go free. The first seven students did that and went free. Then the eighth was a young girl. She stopped, kneeled at the cross, prayed, very carefully went around it to the firing squad, and the other 92 students followed her to the firing squad. Persecution was the gasoline that was throwing on the flames of revival. That's what happened in China, Sudan, Saudi Arabia, Burma, North Korea, Indonesia, and Iran, and still kills many people today. The church, now here it's talking about the synagogues. 16, let's read it again. John 16. These things have I spoken unto you that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will thinketh that he doeth God's service. The persecution can come from the church. It might be the church that kills us. Which church? Well, I don't know. But let's look at some examples here. How about Acts 7? Or religion. Let me say religion instead of the church. It might be religion that kills us. Acts 7:54. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven. We're talking about Stephen here. And saw the glory of God and Jesus. Is there a difference? Or is the glory of God, is that Jesus? Might be the same thing. Standing on the right hand of God. And said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul was consenting unto his death. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Let's look over to 23, Acts 23. We're talking about religion kills. Salvation saves. Religion dooms and kills and destroys. Acts 23, 12 and 13. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that Jews, that's religious people, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And then in 26, Acts 26, starting in verse 9, I verily thought with myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's the problem right there. You can talk about God.
Yeah.
If the news people's interviewing you, you can talk about God. You can talk about your imaginary God that you imagined, how He's only love and no judgment and all that. They'll leave you alone. But you bring up the name. There might something happen to the camera. It might go off if you bring up the name of Jesus of Nazareth. Which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, the religious leaders. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them, and I punished them oft in every synagogue and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceeding mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Now, I'm getting a little bit ahead of myself. Let me go ahead and say while we're right here that the unpardonable sin we talk about sometimes is failure to receive Christ. Or the unpardonable sin is rejecting Christ and saying no. For 21 years I ignored Him. I did not receive Him. And if you leave this world and never receive Christ before you leave this world, you're doomed.
Right.
And damned. There'll be no hope. The unpardonable sin is failure to receive Christ or to reject Christ. It's the same thing. The church has come down to the level of the world to attract the ungodly. We're to forsake all and take up our cross and follow Him. Not His cross. Our cross. Everybody's got one. Yours might not be mine. Mine might not be yours. This is a warning here in John 16 of persecution to come. But also, we're going to hit a promise here that the Holy Spirit's coming. Don't worry. No worry. Baby, be fine. Persecution's not always from the world, but from religion many times. John 16:3. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me.
Right.
Here's the song, Brother Jerry, just any time you'd want to. My Savior reached down. When He had to reach way down for me, and I didn't know God nor His Son. I'm not talking about today. Trish will explain it to you later. Someday I'd like to have that song. It says, and these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father or His Son. For 21 years I didn't have God or His Son, neither one. You really need both. Get one, you'll have the other.
Right.
More ignorance. More ignorance.
Yeah.
It was prayed in the prayer room. Many still think it's been good. No, no, no. Not to get to heaven. You're going to need Jesus in your heart. You're going to need that blood sacrifice that was on Calvary. God's blood ran down the cross of Calvary. These things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. Red letters. Red letters. You know Him. You know the Father. They did not know the God of Abraham. They were ignorant about Him. They didn't know. I didn't know. I didn't know which way was up. I was 21 years old. I know it's a play on words. I didn't know which way was up. I thought good people went to heaven, bad people went to hell. That's the devil's religion and that's TV religion. Has nothing to do with salvation or the Bible. Nothing. Nothing. The world hates the Word of God and the genuine believer. Verse 4. John 16:4. But these things have I told you, that when the time shall come,
you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning because I was with you. See, Mary and Martha had to wait for 4 days because God had left heaven and took on a body and He was in one spot. But now that He went back and the Holy Spirit moved in your heart, the Spirit of Jesus moved in your heart, guess what? He's everywhere. And you don't have to wait. He can come and comfort you right now. Today, you can pray to Him now. You can talk to Him now. It's different now. It's better now. Now He's everywhere. He's in us. We can pray and worship anywhere. Brother Reggie says anytime, any place, anywhere. That's what we can do. We carry Him around with us. The Creator of the universe that made the sun, moon, stars, Pluto, the Pacific. You carry Him around in your heart. You can worship Him anytime you want to. You can talk to Him anytime you want. He's a personal God. Verse 5, He made it personal on purpose. He made it that way on purpose. Verse 5, John 16, 5, But now I go my way to Him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? They're like us. We can only think of the empty plate at the table. What about me? How's it going to affect me? What about self? And not, we wasn't thinking about, they wasn't thinking about the glorious place He was going. He was going home. He was headed home. We should have been happy about that. See, an eclipse will block out the sun there for a little bit, but then it's going to move on. It's going to move on. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church, and Jesus submerged His own feelings to take care of theirs. Verse 6, But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart. They let His leaving overwhelm them. And rightfully so. I would have done that. We're going to go to a funeral this week, tomorrow. It overwhelms us when others leave. The ones, they're in good shape. But that's just left behind sometimes. Verse 7, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the capital C, the big C, Comforter, the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you. I had to look it up. Expedient means profitable. It's profitable. Brother Dennis said his dad liked to make profit. Brother Dennis likes to make profit. He's not against that either. Profitable, expedient, better or best. Let's look at it in Mark 10. I like profit. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many. And that's what He's doing here at the table with the disciples, with the apostles. He's comforting them. Well, that's the first 7 verses about the persecution. Now, 8 through 11, I'm going to read them together because it's one sentence. And the title is The Work of the Holy Spirit in the World. In the world. And when He has come, that Comforter we just talked about, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. 3 things, and then He elaborates on each one. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Again, the unpardonable sin. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. To reprove, the Holy Spirit's job is to convict me. If you've never been convicted of your sins, you cannot get saved.
Right.
When the Lord first saved me, the preacher put me to teaching. Well, not too long after I was saved.
kindergarten and first grade boys. We had a lot of fun. We'd run around the room playing camels and horses and stuff like that. But when it come invitation time, the preacher explained to me, he said, you ask them if they've ever done anything wrong, if they come forward wanting to be saved at the end of class, you ask them if they've ever done anything wrong. If you use the word sin, they might not know what that is. And still, you might have to explain it, ask if they ever told a lie, stole a cookie, mean to their brother or sister, or disobeyed their parents, something like that. And if they say no, and many times they'll say no, then you send them back to their seat.
Right.
Because they have nothing to be saved from.
Right.
If I don't know I'm a sinner, if I don't know I'm a sinner, I have nothing to be saved from.
Right.
The Holy Spirit's the only one that can teach me that. He must come in and convict and convince me that really I'm a ruined sinner.
Right. Yeah.
That I've ruined everything.
Yeah.
I'm ruined.
Yeah.
And I need a substitute. I need a perfect sinless Savior. It's what's got to happen. And we had like a 70-year-old here. One time come to the altar, I was asked to deal with, I asked her, I said, are you a sinner? She had to think for a long, long time. It was a few minutes. And finally she said, no, I said, one time I did something bad to my daughter. In 70 years, that's all. That's all. One time she did something, wasn't it? No, you've got to know you're the chief of sinners. That's what Paul came to. Verse 9. We already read it, I'm sorry. Because they believe not on me. That's the root sin. That was my problem for 21 years. I didn't know Him. It's a root sin. There's no righteousness apart from Him. I must have His righteousness because I don't have any. I must have His. Heathen try to appease their little gods because they know they've sinned. We need to know that we sinned also. We need to know. We must know it. John 4:41. And many more believe because of His own word. If you can't get someone saved, if you can bring them to church, is the next best thing to be around where this is.
Yeah.
This is the only place you can get more faith is the Word of God.
Right.
John 5:24. Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath present tense, right now, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Romans 10:17. I know we just read these, but I need to personalize them. I need to internalize them.
Yeah.
Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You haven't tried. I don't have enough faith, brother. Well, in the Bible is where we get it. 1 Peter 1:23. I think we just read it last week. But I need to internalize it. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Not an imaginary little G God that we dreamed up. No, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. John 16:10. Well, again, we already read it. Those who spurn the remedy that God so precisely provided at so great a cost are lost. I'm talking about the cross. If I spurn, if I turn my back on what God provided for salvation, I'm lost. There's no hope for me. I'm doomed and damned. There must be conviction before we can turn.
Right.
Unbelief is a state of no... Well, the cross is the only thing that remedies. Well, I'll have to... I get to believe in Jesus, in Christ, receive Him. No greater sin can a person commit than not receive God's Son. It's the sin of sins. It's the unpardonable sin. I must have Him in my heart. I must have Him. I must have Him. I must receive Him. There's got to be conviction before we can turn. If I do not trust Him, there's no hope. We're already guilty. We're already guilty.
Yes, sir.
I need to trust Him.
Yes.
It's what I need to do to take care of that. We're already guilty and been judged. When I receive Him, He subtracts my sin. Reading the Bible's great, but I need the really big teacher to convict my heart. To convict my heart and show me where I'm wrong. Okay, we're going to quit there. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for writing it down in Christ's name. Amen.